Welcome to SILRAP Podcasts. You are about to listen to a service of the Center for International Law Research and Policy.
Dignitaries on the dais and off the dais, distinguished participants, students. I'm extremely honored and humbled to accept the M.C. Bassioni Justice Award for 2017. And to join past recipients whom I have long admired and respected. I've also had the privilege of knowing and working with some of those who have earlier received this very prestigious award. I would like to give a very special thanks to the SILRAP board for selecting me for this prestigious award named after Professor Emeritus M. Sharif Bassioni, who has contributed tremendously to the development of international criminal law and for long years campaigned ceaselessly for the establishment of an international criminal court. Professor Bassioni has authored 32 and edited 47 books on international criminal law, comparative criminal law, human rights, and U.S. criminal law, and has published more than 200 articles in a number of languages in various books and journals all over the world. Some of his works have been cited by the International Court of Justice, the International Criminal Tribunal for the former Yugoslavia, the International Criminal Tribunal for Rwanda, and by various US courts, including the US Supreme Court. Several of his works have also been translated into Arabic, Chinese, Farsi, French, German, Hungarian, Italian, Portuguese, and Spanish. I would also like to extend an enormous salute to all of this year's nominees, each of whom have made valuable contributions to international law in their own areas. I also wish to thank those who nominated me and supported my nomination. And of course, I also thank my family and friends and colleagues for always supporting me and for being there, for being here today on the occasion of the presentation of the award. I would now like to say a few words about the conference today. I participated in the first SILRAP conference here in Delhi in November 2014 on historical origins of international criminal law. And less than a year later, in November 2015, I was invited to the annual session of the Assembly of States Parties of the International Criminal Court in The Hague to speak on the occasion of the launch of volumes 3 and 4 in what has now become a 5-volume series on historical origins of international criminal law. The series has received a very favorable review in the latest issue of the Asian Journal of International Law. This is an unusually substantial undertaking with more than 4,000 pages of published material prepared by 152 authors. SILRAP expressed the ambition at the previous Delhi conference that its project would contribute to the crystallization of a subdiscipline of the history of international criminal law. And indications are that it has succeeded enormously. And I would like to congratulate Professor Bergsmo on this success. It is therefore with considerable interest that I have read the concept note and listened to the presentation now by Professor Bergsmo on the new research project on philosophical foundations of international criminal law and the rich conference program. According to the concept note, the project analyzes foundational concepts, etc. So I will not go into the details as we have just heard extensively from Professor Bergsmo. Now, having served for several years as a member of the UN International Law Commission, I find his remarks very interesting, which are set out in the concept note that we will discuss whether there are additional legal fundamental values that should be recognized by international criminal law as it evolves, and reconciliation and unity are two values that have been singled out by him. It is a conference that looks to the past with a view to thinking more systematically about the future development of this discipline of international law. Now, the International Law Commission has a responsibility to contribute to the development and codification of international law and has made significant contributions to the development of international criminal law. It may be recalled that the Rome Statute of the International Criminal Court is based on the drafts prepared by the Commission. And I believe, Ambassador, you were a member of the Commission at the time when the statute, draft statutes was adopted. Ambassador Martin Ney has also referred to the Nuremberg principles. This is another area where the International Law Commission has contributed. It studied the charter as well as the judgments of the Nuremberg Tribunal and identified 7 main principles from this material on the request of the General Assembly. According to Principle 1, any person who commits an act which constitutes a crime under international law is responsible, therefore, and liable to punishment. Under Principle 3, persons who have committed acts or who have committed crimes under international law are not relieved of their criminal responsibility only by their being heads of state or other senior officials, senior government officials. These principles also identified the 3 main crimes: crimes against peace, war crimes, and crimes against humanity. Even the current agenda of the International Law Commission has 2 specific items on international criminal law. These are the topics of immunity of state officials from foreign criminal jurisdiction and a draft convention on crimes against humanity. The Commission works within the wider framework of the UN General Assembly system, but the initial idea generation for new developments in international law are not constrained by this system. So apart from the General Assembly or member states in the Assembly, individual experts can also advance ideas in academic settings. Support can build up among actors across state borders before any state takes an initiative at the UN. Such exploration and fermentation of ideas can be of vital importance. The 1948 Genocide Convention can be cited as an example. One Polish lawyer, Mr. Rafael Lemkin, is often credited with being the main driving force behind the development and adoption of this convention. I therefore think that this conference is a very important initiative. We cannot today foresee its consequences over time, but it is welcome that the conference takes place in Delhi and that a number of Indian institutions, such as the Indian Law Institute and the Indian Society of International Law, apart from a number of universities, are among the co-organizers. I commend SILRAP for having taken this initiative and for working in such an inclusive and open manner. I hope that in coming years, the Maharishi Law School, which I will soon be joining, will also become part of this initiative. Before closing my remarks, I would also like to thank Norway for the contribution it has made to making this conference possible and given us the invaluable opportunity to interact with and exchange ideas with the galaxy of experts from different parts of the world who are present here today. Finally, I thank Professor Bergsmo for organizing this important conference here in New Delhi with so many experts, which include judges from both international and national courts, legal practitioners, legal advisors, and academicians from different areas of work, and I'm sure that this diversity will contribute to very fruitful discussions in our conference. I thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more open access audio recordings, films, and publications, go to silrap.org.